Greetings, everyone, and good morning. Beautiful Sabbath morning. We've got some nice temperatures ahead of us, 60s and 70s, and that in itself lifts the spirit. Man, I am sick of this cold weather. And you know, I would venture to say that if we went to Boston or somebody from Boston came down here and saw our cold weather and our snow, they would laugh at us. They would say, "What snow?" Well, the world we live in today is not a very patient world. Most everyone wants a quick, a swift solution to their everyday experiences, whether it's shopping, whether it's our appointments, whether it's eating or travel, whatever. We want it done quickly, immediately. We're surrounded by fast food places to eat. With drive-through service, we don't have to get out of the car. We just drive through. We have Quick Trip convenience stores all over the place. We have Jiffy Lube and Speedy Lube to get our oil changed. We have high-speed internet and streaming videos at just the touch of a few buttons. And for those of us who use the computer frequently, if it doesn't respond in 1 or 2 or 3 seconds, we get frustrated. Man, what's going on here? For many, patience is not in their vocabulary. And businesses know that, and they attempt to satisfy their customers as quickly as possible before losing those customers to someone else who is a little bit quicker. And of course, the world rubs off on us, and we too become impatient creatures. Impatient Christians. The Word of God, Holy Scripture, encourages us to be patient and long-suffering in our Christian journey, no matter what trial, what condition we find ourselves in. God is a very patient God towards us, and He patiently waits for each of us to grow and overcome and repent and perfect ourselves before Him. God is very patient with us. God gives us His Spirit to help us in all of this and to produce the fruit of that Spirit. What is the fruit of God's Spirit? Galatians 5, chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering. And we have, of course, the rest of the fruits. Fruit is produce, the product of God's Spirit. Patience is one of many virtues and benefits that God's Spirit creates within us. If we have God's Spirit, then we should find patience and forbearance in our lives and the desire to develop it more fully. As I was preparing this message some days ago, a couple weeks ago, and it takes me forever to prepare a message, so I start early. I was finding that I'm writing here about patience, and I'm going out doing my errands of the day, and I catch myself being very impatient. And then I had to remind myself, Stan, you can't be this way. You have God's Spirit. You have to show more patience. So it's something that we all, as Christians, must have. So, if you haven't guessed, I want to talk today about patience, about endurance in our walk with God. As God is patient, so we should be patient in our dealings with each other. And that can be kind of tough at times, you know, with each other, with our families, and even with those in the world. We should be steadfast in our faithfulness to Jesus Christ in spite of the evil, anxious, hurried world that surrounds us, that rubs off on us. And as they become impatient, we sometimes take on that same trait. I've entitled this message, Our Patience Before God. Our Patience Before God. Now, having patience involves living a life of perseverance and endurance. Perfect patience includes suffering long and not complaining when times get tough. One of our many duties as Christians is to put on and exercise this fruit of patience until the very return of Jesus Christ. Let's notice that in James chapter 5. James chapter 5, verse 7. James is a very practical book. Verse 7. James 5, therefore be patient, brethren, knowing the coming of the Lord, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. Verse 8, you also be patient. Establish your hearts, strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Now, none of us know when Christ will return. It may be shorter. It may be longer than we expect. But with true patience, as commanded from Scripture, we can endure whatever. Nothing must shake us and interfere with our quest to receive God's kingdom. We know that. Particularly the impatience of this world. We can't let impatience take our eye off of the big picture. Let's continue on in James chapter 5, verse 9. He says, do not grumble or complain against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge, Christ, is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. And indeed, each prophet of old suffered in their service to God. So we too, as disciples of Jesus Christ, as ambassadors of Christ, can expect to suffer at our service and our patience. Continuing, verse 11, indeed, we count them blessed who endure. We respect those who have great patience in life. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. You know, Job endured tremendous difficulties. And in return, he received God's compassion. Patience brings its own special reward from God. Our Christian desire is to stay calm, calm in the face of misfortune or persecution, and wait for God's compassion to come upon us. It's God's Spirit that grants us patience as we in faith rely and depend on Him and His Word for everything in life. Now let's turn over to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. Paul is writing here, verse 4. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Our ultimate hope is attaining God's kingdom. The Scriptures provide us comfort in this because they give us answers to things that we cannot find elsewhere. We can't go out into the world and do research and find the spiritual answers that we sometimes are seeking. Answers like why we were born, what is God's plan, what is sin, how can we be reconciled and made clean before God. That's only in Scripture. That's not out into the world. The Passover that is coming soon, which is the very first step in God's plan of salvation, provides a path of cleanness and forgiveness of our personal sins. And that should give us comfort. Scriptures, Holy Scriptures, should give us comfort in life. Continuing on in verse 5, Romans 15, verse 5. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is even the solution to the world's problems, to glorify God with one mind and one mouth. And that will eventually happen after Christ returns. Now, life as we live it is ruled by time. We work and play and schedule life events by the clock. God put time over us and into our lives by the heavenly bodies, the sun and moon. And our patience deals with the dimension of time. We measure patience in minutes and hours and days and weeks and months and years. We frequently wait and wait patiently for God to act on His will in our lives. Yet, God is not ruled by time. God is eternal. God doesn't view time as we do. God chooses to perform things as He wills them, knowing the perfect time to intervene and bring His desired blessing our way. And that's why patience is a virtue. It's desirable that God know that we have the fruit of patience. Let's turn to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Verse 8, but, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years is one day. The Lord is not slack or slow concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering, is patient towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God suffers long toward us in providing opportunity for us to repent and overcome our weaknesses and lack of faith. I remember when God began to first deal with me personally, drawing me to His truth. I mostly believed at the time, but I wasn't quite ready yet to forsake the world and totally commit myself to Him. I understood. Of course, this is before attending church. But I wasn't quite there yet. And I can look back now and see that God was very patient with me, never leaving me, but waiting for the right time for me to submit myself fully to Him. And God was willing to endure. And I put that in quotes, if God really endures. But yes, the Scripture says He endures. God was willing to endure for 3+ years. Years. With my hard-headedness. Until I came to the point of baptism. And many of you would have similar stories to tell. I have heard of some people being so cautious with God's calling that they took 20+ years or more to finally humble themselves before God for baptism. And yet God was willing to suffer long with them. Why? Why? We just read it. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We see similar thinking from the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. Here Paul is writing to Timothy. Verse 15, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I, Paul, am chief." Paul considered himself the first and foremost, the chief of all sinners. Verse 16, "However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first," that is, being first and foremost of all sinners, "Jesus Christ might show all long-suffering, patience, as a pattern, as an example to those who are going to believe on Him for everlasting life." God wants you and me to be part of His family. And He's willing to suffer long until the perfect time comes to bring us into His everlasting family. And so we too must suffer long in this world. We have to persevere and forbear no matter what trial or life issue that comes our way. It's simply part of our calling. It's what a Christian has to do. Whether the issue is physical or spiritual, we have to keep our focus again on the big picture on God's kingdom. Now, what are some of the life events that we experience that require patience on our part? One is when healing from sickness is requested from God. God perfectly understands our health concerns and our ailments. God's not ignorant of our health concerns. In 1 Peter 5, it is written that God cares for us. He knows us inside and out. So whether it's our personal healing or that of others, God makes us wait at times for our faith to be known. God is in the business. We've all heard this. How many times have we heard this in the church of God. God is in the business of developing godly, righteous character, which includes patience and faithfulness. So as we appeal to God for His mercy in our sufferings, we must pray and endure until He acts. And let's remember that our physical healing is a type of the ultimate spiritual healing that we all desire from God. Our ultimate healing is eternal salvation. Another example of needing patience is when financial trials test our livelihood. We may petition God to increase our family income. God, I need more money to live. But at the same time, we must be willing to modify or reduce our family expenses or standard of living. You see, somewhat a two-way street there. In Matthew 7, we're encouraged to be very active in asking and seeking and knocking on doors for God to open, that a blessing may come our way. It may take persevering and knocking on many, many doors and seeking counsel until God rewards us with this economic turnaround. More money, some reduced expenses maybe. We have to always sincerely do our part as we petition God. God wants us to do our part, and He wants to see that in action. Another example of patience is when we are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Now, this doesn't happen that often, but it can when we interface with those who have no respect for the Word of God. A good example is losing a job or some blessing because we choose to obey God rather than man. Some have lost jobs because of the seventh-day Sabbath command. But generally, with patience, God supplies a better job at the chosen time. Not all of our trials, of course, are due to righteousness' sake. Probably very few today, in the world we live today, few of our trials are due to righteousness' sake. Most trials are simply time and chance, accidents, decisions we make, whatever. But when real persecution happens due to our obedience to God, we're to rejoice and be happy about that persecution, because in Matthew chapter 5 it says that our reward from God will be great. Another example of needing patience is when change happens in our lives. You know, most of us tend to resist change because we like the status quo. We like the routine. We like the samey stuff all the time. Whether at work or school or even at church, we tend not to like change. Yet change happens, and we have to face it with patience. Companies change to provide a better product, to meet the competition, to improve their internal processes. Those changes affect employees, good or bad, and may bring stress into our lives. We don't like change at the workplace. We don't like change anywhere. In a recent United News publication from the Home Office. I think it was not this most current one, but the time before there, there was an article explaining a recent change in the church. Do you recall what that change is? The Good News magazine will soon be renamed the Beyond Today magazine. Now, I would venture to say that some of us here are okay with that change, but some may not be so okay with that change. I don't think that's a good idea, some may say. Patience and time will bear it all out. Maybe God inspired that change. It's been in the works for many years, and now seemed the time, the Council of Elders, to approve it. But on a much higher level, God wants change in each of us. He wants us to stop being carnal, sinful people, even though we sometimes like being carnal, sinful people. Few things in life go unchanged. Benjamin Franklin wrote in 1789, quote, "In this world, nothing can be said to be certain except death and taxes," end quote. We've all heard that quote. Yet someday, even death and taxes will go away when our real spiritual change occurs. That's our hope, is that we can leave this body of flesh and become spirit. We won't have to deal with death and taxes anymore. But for now, in the flesh, change happens. And when it comes, we must be patient and persevering and keep our focus on the big picture, staying close to God. The Bible has dozens of promises that we can claim before God. To claim them requires patient waiting. The ultimate promise is that of spiritual salvation. God's promises are mostly without the dimension of time involved. He promises this or that, but doesn't particularly tell us exactly when or even how our blessing will come. God again wants to see our faith, our steadfastness, before He fulfills His promises. He's in charge. He may take some longer than others before He responds. God perfectly understands the response we need. Yet we're flesh. We're temporary. And we live with this element of time over us. So we desire quick answers from God. That's what we want. Immediate healing. Immediate increase in our income. But they don't always come quick, do they? We have to wait until God answers. I think we can all remember the Old Testament story of Joseph, who by circumstance served in Potiphar's house after being sold into slavery. Joseph was later falsely accused and thrown into prison. No doubt Joseph prayed often to God to be freed. Yet God allowed Joseph to stay in prison for at least 2 years. Maybe a little bit more, but at least 2 years. That's a long time, relatively, to us. 2 whole years. God could have easily done different. But he chose what was best in his plan for the life of Joseph. God knew what Joseph would come to do later. And God said, Joseph, 2 years, that's okay. That's okay. Now, could we endure prison for 2 years? Even if we were placed in charge of all of the other prisoners, could we endure for 2 years? Unjust, totally being persecuted for righteousness' sake. Here. Joseph had to exercise patience until God released him. And Joseph later went on to become a great leader to all of the Egyptians. Now, if we continue this story flow, it reads on into Exodus chapter 1. Exodus chapter 1, verse 8. And you know this story very well. Now, there arose a new king over Egypt. Exodus chapter 1, verse 8. Now, there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. And he said to his people, look, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply and it happen in the event of war that they also join our enemies and fight against us and so go up out of the land. Verse 11. Therefore, they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh supply cities, Pithom and Ramses. Verse 14, down to verse 14. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage, in mortar and brick and in all manner of service in the field. All their service in which they made them serve was with rigor. I'll stop there. Now, speaking of change, in a person's life, the Israelites, they had real change come into their lives after the death of Joseph. Their freedom, their prosperity was changed into bondage and rigor. In Exodus chapter 2, we see the birth of Moses and him being reared by Pharaoh's daughter. After growing up, Moses flees Egypt for Midian after killing an Egyptian. Acts 7, verse 23 tells us that Moses was 40 years old when he fled Midian. Fled to Midian. So Moses was 40 years old when he went to Midian. After spending another 40 years in Midian, God decides to reveal himself now fully to Moses and send Moses on a mission to rescue the Israelites from bondage in Egypt and to lead them out into a land flowing with milk and honey. And we know the rest of the story. My point in this is that the Israelites had been groaning and crying to God for help since the time before Moses was even born. God was fully aware of their oppression and sorrows. Yet God, in his perfect wisdom, chose their time of deliverance when Moses became 80 years old. Again, God views time different than what man does. That wouldn't have been the way we would have designed it, worked it out. Many Israelites died patiently waiting for their deliverance. So how patient are we in our times of trial? Can we keep the faith and vision necessary for our deliverance to come? We have physical deliverances as we live physically, and then we have our great spiritual delivery yet ahead of us. The answer is, it should be yes. Yes, we can. We can if we want to bad enough. And that's the way it is with so much in our lives. If we want to bad enough, we can keep the faith. We can be patient if we fix our hope on God's kingdom. Hope is part of the support system for our patience. If we have great hope, we can energize our patience to continue on. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13. Hebrews chapter 6, 13, and this is referring to Abraham now, going further back in history. Verse 13. And when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, "Surely, blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply you." Verse 15, and so after he, that is Abraham, had patiently endured and waited, he obtained the promise. Abraham's wait for his son Isaac was 25 years. When Abraham became 100 years old, the promise of Isaac occurred. Abraham obtained that promise. So by example, and the scriptures give us these examples for our own learning, we too must patiently wait and endure until God responds. God knows the perfect time. God knew the perfect time for Mr. Dowd's home to go on contract. We didn't know, but God knew the perfect time. And as we all patiently wait for that perfect time, we can help each other wait and endure, and also be better servants as we put on the qualities of a true Christian. And let's note some of those in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 9. Verse 9. Paul is writing here, and he says, "Let love be without hypocrisy." Hypocrisy. That is, if you're going to love, let it be sincere. Don't love a brother falsely with being hypocritical. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate, devoted to one another with brotherly love. And honor, giving preference to one another. Verse 11. Not lagging in diligence or zeal, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. And verse 12 is what I want to focus on. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Three actions there in verse 12 that can help us endure the trials of life. Rejoicing in hope, being patient in tribulation, and being steadfast in prayer. The Christian path requires us to go against the natural course and nature of man. God's way of life is going against the flesh, the natural course and nature of man. So, when some jerk, drives us crazy wherever. Whether on the road, whether in the office, whether at school, wherever. Instead of getting angry and lashing out, we need to just bite our tongue and move on. Just, that's pretty much natural, isn't it? No, that's against our nature. But we can train ourselves by putting on the fruit of patience. To let it go. To not lash out. It's all part of the new man that God wants to see us become. Paul and the other apostles suffered greatly in their service to God. James, the brother of Jesus, understood that our patience helps us to grow and mature as Christians. James chapter 1, verse 2. James chapter 1, verse 2. My brethren, it's like he's talking to all of us. Verse 2, chapter 1, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Our spiritual maturity is dependent in part on our patient actions of today and tomorrow and next week. If we can't exercise patient actions, then we're not going to spiritually grow that much. It's what we just read. Faith produces patience. Patience is perfect work. We may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 2, cutting into the middle of this verse or this discourse that he's having, Romans chapter 2, verse 6, who God will render to each one according to his deeds. Verse 7, eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good, seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. God draws a strong difference between those who patiently do good and seek truth, and those on the other hand who seek mostly themselves and obey unrighteousness. These two extremes receive opposite rewards. Let's ensure we're on the side of receiving life eternal. Now, brethren, as the end time approaches, there will be a greater need for all of us to have a steady supply of endurance and faith and patience in our lives. Persecution of God's people will come by the hand of civil and religious authorities of that time. And we don't know for sure how all that will work out. We don't know the time of when that will work out. Christ spoke to this subject in Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21, which is the parallel chapter to Matthew 24. So let's turn to Luke chapter 21 and just get a portion of what Christ spoke in these warnings to come of his people. Luke chapter 21, verse 10. Then he, Christ, said to them, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be great earthquakes in various places and famines and pestilences, and there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. Verse 12. But before all these things, they, in speaking of the authorities in control, will lay hands on you, on God's people, and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues, to houses of worship, and prisons. You will be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. But it will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony. Verse 14, therefore, settle it in your hearts not to meditate beforehand on what you will answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. So when this time comes, those of us living, we can have confidence that Christ will be with us in all of this, giving us the right thing to say by His Holy Spirit. Verse 16, you will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, relatives, and friends. And they will put some of you to death. Now, sadly, some of our relatives, some of our friends, who do not understand God's way, who think that we may be some kind of hateful extremists against humanity, not accepting the social politics and religion of the day, these relatives, these friends, will betray us some to death. And this is a hard scripture to envision. I mean, I know of none relatives or friends that I think would go that far today. But things will be different in the times to come. But this scripture is very clear. It's not mystic. And we have this as something to prepare ourselves. The scripture is given for us to think about and prepare ourselves. Verse 17, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head will be lost. By your patience, possess your souls. Many translations word this verse, by your patience, you will gain your lives. By your patience, your endurance, your steadfastness, you will gain your lives. The parallel verse in Matthew chapter 24 seems to be verse 13 in Matthew 24, and I'll just read that to you. It says, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. The subject matter here is salvation. Our faithful, enduring patience to the very end is what God is looking for. That's what God desires. What are we made of? And to have that endurance requires a close and constant relationship with God. Never should we doubt Him or His Word. If we doubt, we are somewhat telling God that He's not capable of caring for us, of protecting us, loving us, saving us. If we doubt, we're saying, God, you can't do this. You can't save me. We should have all confidence that God is the source of our life until the very end. Again, we do not know when all of this will come, when the end time will come. But it's always good to humble ourselves and redeem the time and rededicate ourselves to being a true servant of Jesus Christ, particularly as the Passover approaches. Last scripture. Revelation chapter 14. Verse 8. And again, we're speaking of the end time. End time here. Verse 8. And another angel followed, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Her immoral deeds, her lifestyle. Verse 9. Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or in his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb, Christ. Verse 11, and the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night who worship the beast and his image and whoever receives the mark of his name. And now to verse 12, to those who do not worship the beast. For here in verse 12, here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. So along with keeping the commandments and having strong faith, each of us must have a good supply of patience and endurance to weather the times to come. We don't know when for sure they will come. We can only rest assured they will come at the perfect time that God wants. So, brethren, let's daily ask God to supply our need of patience to possess our soul so we can gain our life. And let's be confident that Jesus Christ, our Passover, will be long-suffering toward us as he lives his life in us. Let's exercise the fruit of patience in our lives.